Dollars and cents and who has them and who does not matter in our world. As you peruse the news of the day, see if there's a single day without mention of economic trends or the income gap or poverty. We hear plenty about poverty here in America, but it is often a more comfortable way of life than poverty in other parts of the world. Like at the refugee camp for Burmese citizens at the garbage dump just over the border at Mae Sot, Thailand. The images moved former Ashland photographer Fred Stockwell so much, he started a charity called Eyes to Burma. Today we'll catch up on what the organization is doing. Kara Lewis is an Eyes to Burma board member here in the studio with me. Kara, welcome back to The Exchange.
Hi, thank you.
And we have two people who have visited the Mae Sot garbage dump / refugee camp this year. Jack Thomas and Cal Thomas are both with us. Good to have you guys here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Kara, give us the start here about Fred and what he was doing in that part of the world in the first place. And you know, it's not everybody who will see something and go, I need to start a charity for this.
Yeah, so I want to say first, it's not a refugee camp at the dump. It's just a place where people from Burma escaped and found a way to live and survive, and they weren't able to get access to the refugee camps because they're at capacity, and so they're on the fringes.
Okay, so that's the difference. It's just a place they're living. It's not a designated refugee camp.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Fred retired to Thailand. He actually moved to Chiang Mai, and he was living the refugee lifestyle, or refugee, sorry, retiree lifestyle, the expat thing. And he was he's a photographer, and he went on a trip. He'd heard about the dump and the people living there, and he wanted to just take pictures and see what it was like. And he ended up seeing children eating out of the garbage, like, you know, 3-year-olds picking food out and eating it, and he was just shocked to the core, and he remembered thinking, somebody has to do something. And I'm not exactly sure how long it took, but he decided that he was going to move there and he was going to help. And it started super simply. Like, he was just staying in a guest house and he'd go to the dump. Just like, he was looking and listening and seeing what he could do. And finally, he decided that the kids needed boots. He was tired of seeing, you know, kids running barefoot across the garbage. And there's broken glass and cans. It's awful. And so that's how he started, was with kids' boots. And then he came back to Ashland to fundraise for boots. And he tells a great story of, like, having, like, 20 packs of boots on the back of his motorbike, driving to the dump and delivering them.
I remember that story. The whole scooter stacked up in the back with the boots. So Fred obviously figured out pretty early on what was in his own pocket and his own bank account wasn't going to be enough to help the people at this trash dump.
Exactly. And we've gotten amazing support from people in Ashland and across the globe. We have supporters in 17 countries.
How do you get the word out about Eyes to Burma? I mean, obviously, everybody can have a website, and you do, so it's easy enough to get eyes from the rest of the world on your cause. But I mean, what do you do in terms of outreach?
Well, since I got on board, I've really helped with the Facebook page, and we had another volunteer from Australia. We have a really big, strong Australian contingency of volunteers who help out and fundraise and raise awareness. But social media has been big. Getting videos from Fred starting this year has been awesome. But I think it's a lot of word of mouth. You know, Fred would come back to Ashland and give presentations. That's how I heard about him. I listened to a talk he gave at the Ashland Arts Center. And then I think just people sharing their stories, like when you go to visit the dump, it really changes your life, and then you just tell everyone about it.
So let's talk to the two young men in the studio, Jack Thomas and Cal Thomas. This is not necessarily a tourist destination you went to. So what brought you to Mae Sot in the first place?
Well, originally we had heard about it from a family friend who was actually traveling with us at the time, and unfortunately he couldn't continue traveling as long as we were, and so after a while of doing the whole tourist thing, decided to give it a break and try something new. And we had this connection with Fred because we had never met him, but we were both from the same city. And so that was the main reason to just go check it out and see what it was like. And then we ended up shadowing Fred and seeing what the day-to-day was like at the dump.
So Cal, tell us what you saw, what your first impressions were when you first got a look at where people were living.
Jack, definitely surprised, you know, coming from, you know, where I do, pretty fortunate, and we have, you know, just a lot of stuff. It's a pretty general term, but when you go there, you realize just really how little you need and to really make you happy. So I was definitely surprised in the state that they were living, but at the same time at how happy these people were just living in a generally safe place where they could work and escape some of the less attractive parts of Burma.
But I mean, it sounds like it's not obviously a very clean place because it is a trash dump. But mm-hmm. I mean, is there a constant smell in the air, that sort of thing?
I mean, absolutely. You are living on a trash dump, so it's not a very attractive place. But
I think everything is relative there. I mean, coming from where they were at, it's a lot better from, I don't know, from Burma. And so in perspective, it's an improvement.
Well, which raises the question then for Carl Lewis is why are the people, these are Burmese citizens, right, but, or Myanmar citizens, depending on which version of the name you want to use, living across the border in Thailand, and why are they not in Burma?
I think it's a lot of different reasons, because, you know, people have come over at different times. I think the original settlers at the dump were escaping violence, civil war, and then as time went on, I think a lot of it was more economic refugees, people who could not get work or couldn't earn enough to support their families, and they're able to do that. Oh, and in safety, too. Like, that's really important. Like, I think lives were threatened. People were kidnapped in Myanmar, Burma. But when they came across the border, they were able to stay together as family units and work together. And I think that was probably a big reason.
Okay. And we should, you know, add in here the fact that Myanmar/Burma has had the repressive military government for a very long time now. And, of course, there are many, as I understand, very many different ethnic groups within Burma that are often fighting with one another, and sometimes the government picks one side and picks the other and pits them against one another. So not a great situation for some ethnic groups, and which is why people end up, as they have, at this trash dump in Mae Sot, Thailand, which is what got Ashland photographer Fred Stockwell interested enough to form the group Eyes to Burma. We're talking to Cara Lewis, an ETB board member, and Cal Thomas and Jack Thomas, who both visited Mae Sot in February of this year. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions, your comments, things you need to know to understand the situation a little better. Our phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So both you guys, Cal and Jack, had talked about just you're struck by this is their life. I mean, the people accept what they have there, and they're relatively happy despite their surroundings. Do they have, I don't know how much you had a chance to communicate with them through interpreters or otherwise, but to get some sense of where they'd like to be, what they see for a future, do they think very much about it?
I think one of the biggest things is that Fred is trying to give them opportunities outside of the garbage dump. Before, they saw their parents working at the garbage dump, making a living from recycling bottles and plastics and stuff like that. But what Fred tries to do is expose them to other things, other opportunities outside the dump, like learning English. I saw a video from Cara recently where they had some instruments and they were playing. Cara said that some of them are now sewing. And so it's all about exposing them to different things, giving them other options, I suppose.
And so is there any discussion, Cara, of being able to move people out of the Mae Sot dump and put them into more permanent locations?
It's been tried before. Like, a lot of groups come in to the dump and try to help. And there's some crazy stories. Like, one group came in and took a bunch of families to some land that this group had gotten together a couple miles from the dump. But they didn't give them water. And there was no access to water on the land, and then they just left them. So, I mean, there's some horrible stories. So what Fred tries to do is, like, figure out simple, easy ways that are, you know, that the community can do for themselves to get themselves off the dump. And so he actually, we've leased some land next to the dump, which isn't on the garbage. And right now I think we have a two-year lease, and we're approaching it cautiously, not wanting to put a lot of investment into this land in case the lease can't be extended. But we've just started building one house, and that's where the sewing lessons are happening. And they're creating a soccer field. So it's part of what we want to do, because I've just listened to a video that Fred sent me, and you know, he picks the kids up from school. We sponsor 6 students who go to Children's Development Center, one of the best elementary schools in Mesa. He picks them up, and they're in their bright, clean uniforms, and he takes them back to their houses, and they're literally on garbage. And the video is just Fred talking about how heart-wrenching it is to watch Pew Pew walk through the garbage to her house. And so we really want to have a nice, clean place for people to start a village.
And how many people are there living at the dump in Mae Sot, Thailand?
It's about 400, but we term it in about 100 families, because within each family is about 4 or 5 members.
And since this is in Thailand, I mean, is the Thai government just sort of looking the other way, not able to do anything for these people, doesn't want to do anything for these people? How does it all work?
Fred and the garbage dump owners worked out a special deal where, as long as the people in the community are working on the dump, getting recyclables out, they have permission to live on the dump without repercussions from the government. However, there are police raids sometimes, and people get picked up, and Fred rescues them from the deportation office.
Are some deported finally to Burma?
Some are.
Really?
But the border is pretty fluid. I think Fred said it's changing now that the military is in charge. But before, people could really easily, once they got deported, it was just a day's trip back over the river and back to the dump. Hmm.
Cal Thomas and Jack Thomas, did you get a sense? Were you there long enough to get a feel for what daily life is like at the garbage dump?
Absolutely. Really, there was no stop because the trucks are coming in all the time with the loads of garbage, and so they're picking through it in the morning, the afternoon, and the night, like well into the night. So there is some downtime for the kids and for the adults to kind of hang out where they're waiting for another a load of trash to come through. But really, life revolves around making the money through the picking the trash. So I mean, I think Fred's in there trying to create some more opportunities for the younger kids and throw some aspects of like school in there and some hands-on work for them to see some of the things besides the life on the dump.
What sorts of things do they pick out of the trash that can then be sold?
I think mainly recyclables. Sometimes they find things that they're not necessarily looking for. I remember Fred said at one point they found a small amount of money, and so it's just anything that people throw away that can be turned into a profit, but I think just mainly recyclables.
So, Cara, what's the situation with overall health of the people who are living at this trash dump in Thailand? Because you mentioned some of them being moved to this piece of land without water, so I guess there's some water source nearby, but, you know, how do you account for its level of quality? I mean, where does their sanitation, their sewage? I mean, how do they cook food? All this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Before Fred got there, their only source of water at the dump was this toxic dam. And if you see it in person or pictures, it's like the color of coolant. It's awful. And when I was there in 2012, people were still fishing out of it. But the first thing that Fred worked on after the boots was water. And it started with delivering bottles of water, big gallons of water, and then eventually it turned into the big, oh my goodness, I forget how many gallons, but huge tanks. We had 5 tanks that are filled weekly, and I think we're down to 4 tanks now, but that's the clean water source for the community, and it helps so much. Just having clean water raises the health level of everybody in the community. And then Fred does some sanitation training, like, you know, he gives everybody soap and shampoo. And and we have Dettol. I don't know if that's something we have here. It's like an anti, what do I want to say?
Is it antiseptic?
Antiseptic, yes.
Okay.
And so,
but it's called Dettol, really?
Dettol.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. you can put that on cuts, and it helps it stay clean.
But I imagine there must be some interesting diseases and infections that people come down with living in this situation.
Yeah, I was like reviewing some of our pictures preparing for this, and there were some awful ones from early on, like 2010, 2011, really nasty infections. And actually, when I was there in 2012, our first day shadowing Fred, we met this young girl, Moi Moi, who had a simple cut. It was like 2 inches max on her leg. But she had a fever. Her leg was twice its size. And we ended up going with her every day to the Maytau Clinic. It was the first day having it cleaned out was just shocking to see. And she eventually got better. She went to the clinic every day, had it cleaned, and had medicine given to her. But it was because Fred checked in on her that day when we were with him that he saw what state she was in, and immediately we went to the clinic. And so him being there every day really helps.
Before Fred Stockwell and I was to Burma, were people dying? Was that going on at the dump?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you don't think of it, but like, you know, heart attacks. Like, there's... The clinic, I think, is like maybe 10 miles away. And that's a long walk if you're having a heart attack.
So I understand there's a fundraiser coming up for Eyes to Burma in the near future. Tell us a bit about that.
There is. We're having a benefit and celebration at Grizzly Peak Winery this Sunday, the 28th, from 1 to 4. We're going to have live music, an auction, a raffle, a food truck. It's going to be super fun. Last year, we had our first event at the Grizzly Peak Winery, and it was pretty successful.
Without Eyes to Burma, is there a long term goal? I guess for Eyes to Burma, like to end this existence, or is that not even on the table?
Fred wants it to become sustainable, and he really wants to instill independence and like a neighbor helping neighbor mentality within the community. So if there's a problem, they can help each other. And Fred is just there assisting and eventually, you know, seeing himself
exiting the situation. Okay.
Yeah.
Eyes to Burma is the name of the operation. Fred Stockwell is the person we're talking about. Cara Lewis is a board member for Eyes to Burma. Cal Thomas and Jack Thomas, also in the studio, visited the trash dump at Maysot in February of this year. Thank you all for joining us today in the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.